The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Place tonight on this Friday night, March the 4th, 2016. Welcome in. Let me just say happy birthday to my aunt in Hampton, Virginia. I almost said Norfolk, but no, she's in Hampton, Virginia. So happy birthday, happy born day, happy Earth Day to you, Aunt Tammy. I love you. I love you. I love you. We grew up like sisters. She's only 3 years older than me, so we're very close. So happy birthday to her. You are tuned in to the Lotus Place tonight, and you know what it is. It's Friday night, and we're talking about love, relationships, and sex. Black Butter Love lines are open. 641-715-3660 is the number to dial. And the code is 549032 pound. And then press *61 if you would like to speak. We are talking about all things love, sex, and relationships. And particularly tonight, I want to talk about a couple of things that I had on my mind. I've thought about for quite a while. I noticed that it seems like other cultures, for instance, Indian culture from India, not Native Americans. I noticed that in their cultures, it seems as if not only our marriages are arranged in many cases, but the younger Indian people are encouraged. It seems like they're encouraged to marry at an early age, like, I guess, like, maybe when they're in college, or maybe 18, 19, 20, they seem to start getting prepared for marriage, like looking for their mate, their spouse, their love marriage partner. And I noticed that with Asian couples as well. And so I just thought about it, and I said, well, you know, I asked a few people, and I said, you know, do you encourage your men, your sons to look for a wife at an early age? I know that a lot of women would used to. My mom and dad, they didn't try to push me to get married in college or right after college. You know, they didn't tell me, hey, you need to start looking for a husband while you're in college or anything like that. And I just wondered, do we do that? Do parents encourage their young children, like when they're going into finishing high school and going into college, do we encourage our children to start looking for a mate to build your family, build your life? I did meet a man from Turks and Caicos years ago, and now he says that in Turks and Caicos, which I think Turks and Caicos is a British Columbia island, but of course, it's inhabited by black people and white people. They come there to tour and, you know, live there and all that. But it's a black island. And now he told me that when their young men reach the age of 14, they do encourage them to not only start building their own home, but they start building their own home, like build it from scratch, from the bottom up, build their own home so that when they turn 14, when they make the age of 18, so they have 4 years to build their home and prepare for a family. So when the men become 18, they're generally encouraged to have found a wife, and you move your wife into that home that you've been building for the past 4 years. Now, that's what he told me. I don't know if that rings true for the entire island, but I did find that quite interesting. So I just wonder, should we go to arranged marriages? Should we go back to that culture? I know that that was the way in some African cultures. But should we go back to that? Should we adopt that now, since we do see quite a few couples divorcing? And I don't really see as many couples as I would like to see. I will say this. Over the past, like, year or two, it's really been touching my heart when I do see black couples walking the street and holding hands. I just love that. I just think that it's just so beautiful. I love black love. So I just wonder about that. Let me ask Delta. Now, Delta, did you encourage your boys when they became, say, like 17, 18, did you encourage them to start looking for a wife and settle down and be good to that wife, not just get a wife? Because now we can say the same thing about, like, I do see a lot of white couples. They tend to get married at a young age, but not to say that those marriages are perfect, and not to say that the Indian marriages are perfect, because I've come across a lot of Indian men that are married, but they still try to talk to me, and, you know, so they may have that little infidelity thing going on. But they get married, they find a wife. So the point I'm trying to make and what I'm asking is, do we encourage our children to find a mate, have a home, try to be happy, try to make it work out at an early age? Now, my grandmother did encourage my mom to marry my dad. And she encouraged her to stay with him, even though for quite a while she was unhappy. They still stayed together and tried to make things work for me. So, Delta, did you do that? Did you encourage your boys to grow up, find your wife, and get your ass up out of here and go love somebody?
Well, yes, I did. And I did tell them that. But the number one thing I told them, and I still hold firmly to this day, I told them, you know, that if you came up with a baby, I didn't care if I wasn't even sure that the baby was yours. If you slept with her and she came and told me that she was pregnant, I told my boys, you had to marry. You had to marry.
You know what? Now, that's funny you should say that, because there was this judge, let me just say this real quick. There was this judge in Memphis, Tennessee. His name was Judge Turner, and he was known as the child support judge. And so when people would go before him, and if the father tried to say, that's not my baby, he would tell them, well, did you sleep with her? And if they said yes, he said, well, you feed that baby until it started looking like you. And he would tell them, you paying this amount each month, you feed that baby till it started looking like you. So I hear you on
And that's be true, because I heard another judge, since you said this, I heard about another case where this man, he didn't want to pay child support. And this is a true story. And he got his friend, two of his friends, they come in there and said that they were sleeping with the woman too.
No, he did not.
Yes, they did. But I know to this day they hate they done it. because the judge turned around and ordered all three of them to pay child support.
Oh my goodness! Now that backfired on him.
It backfired, and you know I know his friends
wanted to do that.
Well, see, back then there was no such thing as DNA back then.
Oh, okay.
And then since they came in and they, because see, the men's come in and they were saying that could be my baby too, and then the other guy saying that's my baby, you know.
Like
and
on
so
life.
So the judge fixed them.
Mm-hmm.
The judge fixed them. So, but I think in Pentecostal religion, in which I am in Pentecostal, mm-hmm. we have always taught in Pentecostal religion, we have always taught to marry. And we have always taught not to, for a very long courtship. That's something in Pentecostal religion. We have always told them, you just don't do it. You don't date a long time. We
figure
in 3 months. In 3 months, we figure you ready to marry. And
really?
Mm-hmm. I married my husband in 3 months.
Yeah, I know you married your husband in 3 months.
And married my first husband less than 3 months. Yeah, and stayed married 21 years until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just always taught that in the church. We was taught that if you play with fire, you get burnt. So what they taught us in the church, you just don't date a long time, because if you go to date, it'll lead to something else, and the next thing you know, you got a baby. And they just taught us you just didn't do it. And most of the women my age and my friends, we married early, real early. And to this day, the majority of every last one of us are still with our husband, or if our husband are deceased. Like one friend I know, she married when she was 16, and her and her husband been married now over 40-something years. I have another friend, they've been married over 30 years. And we were just taught that in the church. You just didn't go on and on. And then one of my friends, she was looking for a husband.
Mm-hmm.
No, the mother-in-law was looking for a husband for her son. And the mother went to a church meeting and saw this friend, which is, she's my friend. The mother saw the young lady and told her, said, my son is looking for a wife, and you will be the perfect one for my son. And do you not know the mother introduced them, and they've been married now 40 years?
I wish somebody would find a husband for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
we just
you always... supposed to do that. You were supposed to find a husband for me. You and Mother Hattie.
Well,
and
you
I'm
know what
like,
I can't.
I'm going to adopt that Pentecostal religion, too, when I meet him. I'm going to tell him, look, we're getting married in 3 months. Now, look. Come on, let's go to the courthouse.
Yeah, they just taught you to court a long time, because they would always taught it, and that's what I believe. They taught us if you court a long time, you go to kissing and hugging and all that, and the next thing you know, you be having sex and you got a baby out of wedlock. And they just, see, that's what they taught us, and they just taught us you need to marry. And then they taught us, the preacher said, it don't take all day to know what you want to do.
Well, you know what? I kind of do agree with that, because I think after 3 months, you kind of sort of can fill out a person's personality. Because in 3 months, a person generally will show you who they are and what they are about. May take about 6 months, but like generally in 3 months, I remember when that show Taxi Cab Confessions used to come on, there was this one lady that sat in the back of the cab, and she said she only dates men for 3 months. 3 months, after 3 months, she breaks up with them, because after 3 months, they start acting up anyway. So she said she just dated him for 3 months, and then after that, she break up with him, no matter if it's going good, going bad, whatever. She just break up with him.
And see, and I think that's crazy. To me, I think that's really crazy. And to me, and people may get offended when I say this, I don't believe you should be dating no man no 3 years, 2 years, and when you start going into 10 years.
No,
I'm serious. I know some people who are doing it right now.
Me too.
And to me, look, I ain't got old. My titties are sagging. I've been with you 10 years. Titties, I ain't got old. My titties are sagging. My face is sagging. And it's the truth. And after a while, you're not going to want me. You're going to want something younger.
Yeah.
And then here I am. I'll be able to spend 10 years with you and you going on about your business.
And then you'll get
like,
somebody 10 years younger than you. Wait,
that is correct. And, that's, and they
will do that.
And they love young girls. It's just like OJ. When OJ left his wife, when he left Marguerite, Marguerite was, you know, and OJ was almost the same age. Then here come Nicole walking up in there. She's 17 years old. And and OJ was what, in his late 20s, early 30s? And what did he do? He walked off and left his wife for somebody younger. So, hey, I ain't gonna waste all my life with you. I mean dating you and you're not gonna do right by me? Come on now. You ain't finna sit up here and rub all the hairs off my private part, ran my body out.
That's exactly what happened. Speaking of OJ, let's run into the hot topics and see what's this update on OJ. I did, when I was in the airport today, and I think I saw a little clip on it last night about OJ, and they found a knife at that old house, and the house had been demolished and all of this stuff, but now they just all of a sudden found this knife and now they want to test it. I'm like, Lord have mercy. That is so old. And
listen, Auntie, you are absolutely right, Texas girl. I just spoke to Miss Hattie today.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the exact words I spoke to Miss Hattie and take a guess for it. It was identical, true, what I said. Had no idea, but that was my theory, but the lawyers came on TV tonight and they said it. Now, let me work it out. I told Miss Hattie when they said they found the knife.
Icy Hot on the line with us, too. He just joined us.
I told Icy Hot today that I told her that when they said they found that knife, I said, look at him. I said, OJ coming up for probation next year. He's supposed to get out. Now, listen at this. They said they can't touch OJ. They can't come back. Even if they find anything on that night, they can't come back and double jeopardize him. They said that tonight on CNN.
Okay.
But one of the guys that was on there was on his dream team. I could see the lawyer, but I can't call his name right now. But pull it up.
Shapiro,
it was on CNN. No, it wasn't Dershowitz. I know him. It's another one. But wait a minute. Let me go on before I forget, man. So they had both of these lawyers on there. Now, listen at what the lawyers said. Just what I told Aisha High today. I said, they bringing that up. I said, because OJ come up for parole. I said, they going to take this and use it against him for doing parole. So the man said today, the night on CNN, because they're supposed to let OJ go next year. The man said, only thing they could do is go before the parole board and said that here tonight and tell them that he's a threat to the society. And that's the only way, that's the only thing they can do, and he won't get out. I told Icy Hot the day that this was going to be their scheme to use. Because the lawyer was saying tonight, it's no way in the world OJ should have got no 33 years for what he done. Oh, it shouldn't have been no more than maybe 2 or 3 years. But OJ, the lawyer says that this was a payback, really, for killing Nicole. So it was just like I said.
Well, he was not convicted of killing Nicole, so we can't say that he killed Nicole.
But I believe, now, look, me personally, I believe he done it.
Yeah, well, we can say we believe he did, but he was acquitted. Mm-hmm. We can't say he killed her because we don't know that.
Oh, I do.
Johnny Cochran got him off.
Johnny Cochran got him off. But look, it was time for somebody to get off because they've been hanging us for years.
Well, that's what I said when OJ went to jail. When he was indicted and going through the trial and all of that, I said, shoot, I hope he does get off.
Mm-hmm. And can I get one more?
Yeah, sure.
And can I get one more hot topic, please?
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump had a rally a couple nights ago, and it was a young black girl at the rally. And you can put it up on Facebook. I'll send it to everybody. And what happened was these white people took the black girl. She was the only black girl there. And they took her and they started shoving her and calling her racial slurs and pushing her out the building. This man that was there, the white guy, he posted it on his Facebook page. And he was in the Marines. Somebody took this picture that he posted, and he was one of the ones hollering and yelling at the girl and calling her racial slurs. Somebody took it and sent it to his commander. And they sent it to his commander, and he's been discharged from the Navy immediately. They discharged him from the Navy because the Navy gave a statement, and it's on Facebook. The Navy says that they have no tolerance for racial, dividing races or some kind of way. I'm not saying the proper words, but racial intolerance. They have no tolerance for that in the Navy.
So wait a minute. I missed what happened. Now, what did he do? Is he the one that pulled
okay.
the young girl out?
It was at a
like
Donald
that?
Trump rally.
Mm-hmm.
It was a young black girl there. She looked like she no more than 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
The people start walking up and pushing the girl out of the Trump rally. Asked her, what is she doing there? And start mm-hmm. calling her racial slurs. This particular man was mm-hmm. leading the charge. He was leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was in the Navy. He posted it on his Facebook.
Oh, my goodness.
Him. That's why we better be very careful what we post.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fussing and hollering at this girl. Somebody from the Navy saw his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
They took it and sent it to his commander. And he got kicked out of the Navy. He lost all his benefits and everything.
Ooh.
He's gone.
Oh, he lost his benefits too? Now that's
he
what
lost
I like
everything.
I like to hear when they lose their benefits.
He lost everything. He was dishonorably discharged from the Navy because they
all
said
time in the Navy.
They said it's in the Navy policy
mm-hmm.
that they have no discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And he was discriminating. And he took it and he put it on his Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And he's in the Navy. And they said it brought a bad rapport. His action brings a bad report on the Navy. So
indeed.
He lost his job.
Yeah, he's supposed to be serving his
country.
So
now a lot of white folks are saying he shouldn't have lost his job.
Of course.
But the Navy's saying they stand behind the action.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
well,
they say he signed a contract and that is in the contract.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? This let us know. And including me, but I do a lot of reposting. And it let us know we have to be very, very careful what we post, because this tell us somebody, big boy, is watching. Big however you want to call it.
They have people that supposedly work for the FBI or NSA that have a social media tracking system. And that's what they do. They track your social media. Even now with jobs, that's why I don't give. I keep my work life and my personal life very separate. I don't do friend stuff for all that Facebook with my coworkers and all of that stuff, because they tell you, even now, because I remember when I was in a position whereas I was in charge of hiring people, and we were told, check their Facebook account, check their social media account. So that's what they do. That's why I used to tell my cousins, don't get on Facebook cursing your boyfriend out, showing your little bottles of gin and vodka and all of this while you're out. Don't do all of that, because people, when you apply for these positions, they check your social media account. You can't do that. And that stuff is going to follow these little children. They're already going to have a hard time securing a job. That's why you need to try to own something yourself. And then you go on Facebook, and then 10 years later, you're trying to apply for a job. And they're like, you're a fool.
You absolutely right, Black Rose, because I heard on the news, they got companies now, and the company tells them to go and check their Facebook page.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Like I said, that was an instruction that I was given. Check their Facebook page to see, you determine a person's political stance, their personality, are they responsible? If you see that every weekend they're out drinking and or seem to be in a lot of confusion and commotion, people don't want to have, on some jobs, they don't want to have people like that. So,
And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. I wouldn't either.
If you seem like you're combative, you're always arguing with people, say no. Nobody wants to hire you. And every time they turn around, you on Facebook putting all your business up there, and then it's a lot of bad business. No. Absolutely not. So, yeah, word to these young children, watch what you're posting on Facebook. You're posting pictures with your booty out. And
so now you know this man, he's angry. You know he's angry towards Black people, because he lost his Navy position. But he done it to himself.
Yeah, he did it to himself. So no sense in anybody feeling sorry for him, because he should know. Well, he should have known. He's so busy trying to brag about putting a Black girl out. And then I heard that, I saw it on the news, rather, that it was another group of students. Oh, gosh, what school were they attending? And Donald Trump had a rally. And this was on the school campus. And they walked the children out before they even started protesting. They said they weren't even protesting. They just went to the rally. And they were escorted out, roughly escorted out.
Yes, I saw
that
on Facebook.
That would not have been outside of time, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, though. Again, I think that goes back to into what I say sometimes. You know, we have to prepare these children for what kind of world is out here. They go out here and then they're disillusioned, thinking that everything is peachy cream. And in some cases, it's not. So, what else you have for us, Delta? You have another hot topic?
Yes, I sure do. We have a Black girl, and I'm making a reference, but I have to, y'all. We have a Black girl down in St. Louis. And she had a 2-month-old or a 6-month-old little boy, and the baby was sick and running a fever. And when they took the baby to the hospital, from my understanding, this is what it says on the Facebook news. It made the news because they arrested the mother. And when they took the baby to the hospital because the baby was running a fever, so bad. And when they got the baby there and the nurse pulled the diaper off the baby, maggots was coming out of the baby diapers. QD maggots.
They said, coming out the baby's diaper?
Out of the baby's diaper. They said the mother had been so high. They went to the house, and they said the mother had been so high, and she was so filthy that she hadn't changed this diaper for a while. And the maggots was coming out of the baby. Now, don't you know somebody else had to see this? This has been going on for a while. That's not normal.
So,
she's
yeah.
This is insane. DCS came in and it removed the baby and took the baby.
See, that's the case when somebody does need to step in and see about the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But she let maggots got inside of the baby. That's how bad and filthy the baby was.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. I hate to hear that for young children. Okay, Deborah. Do you have another hot topic for us? And let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back. And we
okay.
can jump into another hot topic, and then our hot topic for tonight, sex, love, and relationships. All right. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
I was listening to this brother. I think he, who does he write for? I can't recall. What newspaper he writes for. I want to say, he spoke about the Republican debate that took place in Detroit. A lot of times when I'm not in Detroit, they had the debate, and then they're going to have another debate in Flint, and I won't make it back to Detroit until Monday, so I'm going to miss that one. I want to go to that debate so badly, the Democratic debate in Flint. So this, the brother was speaking about how the Republican debate, they spent more time degrading each other and being silly. They never, ever brought up the destruction of Detroit, any policies to rebuild Detroit. It was all about Mark Rubio, and Donald Trump. Arguing about their hands and penis and ears. I said, are you serious? This is a real circus. A real live pony, what they call it, dog and pony show, freak show, circus. It's ridiculous.
Freak show. I would say the freak show.
A freak show. It's absolutely ridiculous. Did you watch the debate, Delta?
You know I did.
So... I only saw clips of it.
They went back with my father, Trump and Rubio and Trump and Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump said that he don't have no little hands. He got big hands, so you know what that means. Then he even made a reference to Mitt Romney. He said Mitt Romney was so desperate, wanted to get his vote. He said Mitt Romney, all he had to do was tell Mitt Romney to bend over. Oh. You know, Dennis Bottomover is basically what he was saying. He said he would have done it.
Oh, Lord.
Trump got all type of degrading things to say.
Yeah. See, I don't like that. Not only do I not like that in any arena, but this is a political debate. You asking for people's vote because you say that you're going to run the country and do this and do that. So that should be the subject matter, not talking about each other. I did hear him say something like, I think he was referring to Rubio. Is it Rubio that's in Florida? Which one of them?
Yes.
Who's here in Texas? He said Rubio couldn't get elected for dog catcher. As a dog catcher, I did have to laugh at that one. That was kind of funny, though. He said he couldn't get elected as a dog catcher. I said, oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, Donald Trump said all type of crazy stuff. And it'll
every
make
time,
you scratch your head.
Yeah, well, every time I turn on the TV or pick up my phone to read some news, it's always Trump. I'm so sick of it. Makes my stomach hurt. I'm just sick of hearing about him. But let's talk a little bit about some relationships and love and sex. Icy Hot, I posed a question earlier. Icy Hot, you with us? I see your phone keeps going in and out.
Yeah, it's cutting. I don't know why it keeps kicking me off, but I keep calling back.
Yeah, you do. I appreciate that. How are you? How are you this evening?
Excellent.
Great. How was your class tonight?
Wonderful. I have all these wonderful young people in there, and boy, you know that every now and then I'll catch them with something, and they'll say, "Oh," I said, "What? Look, old people know all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We done forgot stuff y'all think y'all know."
That's right. That's why I always love to have some older women in my life that can get me straight, help me out. Give me some guidance. Tell me what I'm doing right, doing wrong. Give me some advice. Because we need that. We need that. You never get too old to learn, especially nowadays with, like I said, with the relationships and everything. This is what I ask. So it seems like me being here in Houston, so I'm around a lot of Indian people. And it seems like Indian people must encourage their children to marry at an early age, because I see a lot of young Indian couples. I see a lot of young Asian couples. But I wonder, do we tell our children, okay, when you finish high school, when you finish college, start looking for your mate, start looking for a love marriage partner so that you can start building your family and build your life. Do we encourage our children to marry at an early age, or do we more so encourage our boys to go out and sow your wild oats, just have a bunch of women, and whenever you feel like settling down, then you settle down, which I never liked that, settle. Well, I'm not going to say never liked it. I grew to not like saying settle down, because it's like you're settling for something. But do we encourage our children to finish college or look for your mate while you're in college, and that way when you graduate and have your career starting, you're also starting a family? Do we even do that anymore? What do you think?
I don't think we ever did it. I think it was something that was neglected. I think that was just a missing part, and I don't really think we ever told our children anything. Around that issue as far as mates.
Well, I know my parents didn't encourage me to marry, and, you know, they never brought, well, my dad brought one guy to me to go out with. But other than that, like my grandmother, my aunt, you know, my mom, they were never like pushing me or encouraging me to hurry up and get married, hurry up and get married. None of that. So,
right, like, that's what I'm saying. They never, well, for me, told us anything like that. Now, I did tell my daughter that. I told her what to do.
Uh-huh.
And it generally it revolves around once, if you can get your children out of high school and get them to college, uh-huh. you should be sharing with them how and what to look for in a mate so that they can have their prospectus ready.
Yes.
While going uh-huh. through there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that.
And I got these little young boys now, and I mean, my two youngest ones, I mean, they ain't nothing but 7 and 9. They act like they're ready to get married already.
Oh, really?
They're going to really have to be taught early. Because I don't know what's gotten into them.
Hmm.
Well, now,
it's interesting. It's very interesting. And I don't know what that is.
And what are their ages? Because they're not even in their teens yet, are they?
Right. 7 and 9.
Mm. So what did they say? Do they come home and
they're
say, I like this girl, I like that girl, or what?
Exactly. She's in love with me. I want to marry her. Uh-uh. What?
But you know what? I have to be honest. With each of you and our listening audience, my first proposal came from my junior high school sweetheart. I was in junior high. This young man cut grass a whole summer and bought a diamond ring for me and asked me to marry him. Well, I broke
See
up
there?
With him, but yeah, he was like ready to get married. I was like,
hi, what? What?
Yeah.
What?
I was like, I gotta go to high school, college. You know,
right.
I have my whole life ahead of me. I don't know who I may meet in college. I don't know what may happen next year. I mean, he was like ready to get married. I don't think we had even been together a year. Maybe I don't even know. But he was in love with me at that age.
Right. At that age.
We were young, because he was actually 2 years older than me. He was in the 9th grade, and I was in the 7th
grade. Oh, well,
grade.
No wonder then.
Yes, he was in the 9th grade. But you know what? He comes from a church family. His dad was a bishop. His mom was a first lady like you, Delta. So I wonder if it had something to do with church. You know, his
it
mom
had a
and
lot
dad
to
were
do,
always man.
It had a lot to do with, I know personally, see, I was brought up in holiness all my life. A lot of people say Pentecostal, but I was brought up in holiness all my life. I don't know no other way. And we was taught that you didn't date long. I mean, they just really taught us. And if you come to our services right now,
mm-hmm.
my pastor, he would be preaching, and he would say, women, I don't tell no woman to go out and look. He say, but you must have yourself looking nice at all times. He said, because you never know who's looking.
That's
and
true.
And that's you know, that's the way he preached in the
mm-hmm.
and the you know in the message. He said, you never know who's looking. He said, and a man ain't gonna want no woman that's looking like an old woman.
Uh-huh. Oh, I make sure I put my little lipstick
and
lip gloss,
you know,
on.
And he tells us that. And he uh-huh. and they always tell us, you don't cope long. But now, you know, they still tell you not to be doing all that coat no long coat. But most of the people in my organization, in my church, in Kojic religion, they really tell folks, yeah, you need to marry, you need to marry, you need to marry, you need to marry. And they and a lot of them push it from a young age, but now a lot of the girls now, they don't do it. A lot of the young girls now, they want career. They don't want, a lot of young girls don't want marriage like that anymore. They want career.
Well, you know
they
what, I have to be honest with you. When I was in my 20s, like 24, honey, I was so living my life. I mean, I was a jet setter. I was flying here and there, and men asking me to come see them in this city and that state, and I was doing this and doing that. No, I sure wasn't. I was not thinking about none of that, baby. I was what? Living my life. So, no, but at that time, I knew I wasn't ready for marriage because I knew that I wasn't ready to start a family. I wasn't ready to just be a wife. I was not mentally ready. I didn't have my career together. And, you know, men are always saying, oh, she needs to bring something to the table. I'm not getting ready to take on a liability and all of this stuff. So I felt like, well, I need to, you know, make sure I have my money together before I get married. Because the men are not like they used to be back in the day when, like with my grandmother, you didn't have to work. You worked, just go shopping. That was your shopping money if you did work a part-time job, you know. So, I wasn't really thinking about marriage.
And see, and my pastor teach this. I heard my pastor teach this. He said, men, God have not told no woman to go out and work. He said, God told the man to go out and work and take care of his family. Mm-hmm. And he says, if a woman go out and work, he said, that's a luxury. That is a luxury. If she chooses to help you, it's okay. But mm-hmm. if she don't choose to help you, it's still your responsibility to run your house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way you
that in terms of marriages back then, and yeah, I guess with people in church, I didn't really know it was a trait of Pentecostal church because my great grandmother was Pentecostal, so I grew up in the Pentecostal church, and then we started going to Baptist. But you know, people always reference the Bible and saying a man's supposed to be a provider. I don't even know if that's really even in the Bible. Is it in the Bible, First Lady?
What's in the Bible? I didn't hear you, Ashia. What's in the Bible?
The man is supposed to be a provider.
That is correct. God ain't told nowhere in the Bible for the woman to work. He told specifically the man. The woman's supposed to stay home and rear the kids. And a lot of women today, that is correct. And a lot of women get offended when you say that.
I don't get offended at all. Now, me personally,
I don't get offended with it.
No, not at all. Me personally, being the type of woman that I am, even if I did not have to work while being married, I would still have some type of home operation going on. Like, especially today, when you can do all kinds of things on the internet, have a radio show, run a blog page, and still make some money, sell items online, I would still I know I would do something like that. I still would have some work for a foundation, open up my own foundation, something like that, you know, a nonprofit or whatever. I would still do something just because I just know I don't want to just sit at home all day long. So, but I, and it's just, I'm kind of like you on that, Delta. I really do think that the man should be a provider and kind of take care of some primary things, and I'm there to be your helpmate. I can help out and I can assist. Push, come to shove, I'll do what I got to do. But no, I shouldn't have to.
There's no harm in helping.
Yeah, no harm. I think we should help. But now, you're not going to have me paying all of these bills. Because now I have a friend, and somebody wrote a letter in similar to that, too. That's one of, it's not a letter I was going to read for you tonight, Delta, but I know of one lady, and it reminded me of my friend. Someone wrote in a letter like that. Her husband is very irresponsible. He doesn't pay the bills that he's responsible for. They kind of like split the bills. And so he doesn't pay his share. She gets these late notices thinking that he's paid the bill and things like that. So No, I couldn't deal with that. That's, you're not getting ready to do that. But let me ask you this. I just got a message. Somebody saying they're trying to get into our show, but the line is busy. Delta, what should women do if they're bored in their relationship? Like if the man is not showing them affection. I'm reading from this 25 most common relationship problems, and that's one of them. So say, for instance, a mate is bored, like if the woman is bored with her man. Because, you know, sometimes men can get a little boring. They can get a little boring.
Oh,
a little
believe me, I know.
Us. Yeah, they get
and
a little comfortable with us. Don't want to take us out on this Friday night date. Mm-hmm. So what should she do in that case?
Well, I can tell you what I do. Because me and Papa is about that away. Now, Papa is a homebody person. Papa loves to sit home. And I'm a person that I love to go.
Mm-hmm.
And see, me, now, see, a lot of people may not agree with this, but me, I just learned to adjust myself.
Okay.
And I have adjusted myself just to learn to stay home. And I work on my little hat. And a lot of my time, I feel with the grandkids. I love to feel time with the grandkids.
Uh-huh.
And Papa don't mean no harm. That's just the way he is. When I married him, he told me from the jump, before we ever got married, he told me he wasn't a person that loved to go. He's just a homebody person. The only thing Papa liked to do is like to hunt. And like me, I love, and you know, they say opposites attract. And I love to go out and hang out with my friends. I love to go out and eat dinner. I love to go to different functions at the church. I love to go to different functions at friends' houses. And to me, personally, I have learned to adjust my life around here. Everybody can't do it. It's not an easy thing to do. But I have learned to do it. And
so
all I can
say, adjust.
I learned to adjust. And
so,
see, a lot of the younger girls today, they're not going to adjust. They're going to say the heck with it. I know. I have seen them.
So was he like that before you married and he just kind of slowed down? What time, I mean?
I think Papa slowed down with age, and then Papa started getting sick back here a few years ago. I'd say about 3 years ago, Papa started getting sick.
Yeah.
And then I slowed him down. So what I did is I just learned to adjust my life around his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I just learned to do it. Now, everybody ain't going to do that, but that's what I done.
Well, and then it's not like he just going through a depression and he just don't want to go anywhere. He's actually
his health is beginning to bother him.
Right. So yes, you do have to adjust in that case, anyway. But Mother Hattie, Icy Hot, Icy Hot. I hate your microphone. So what would you suggest in that case if a woman is bored with her husband, he doesn't want to take her out anymore on the weekend or on a Wednesday night, whatever, he no longer tries to bring that little flower, a bouquet of flowers, he's not telling her she's beautiful and all of that, how would you say a woman should best handle that situation?
Gotta get real creative.
Okay.
And start dropping little hints around. Telling him, giving him what you want. That's what I think would work.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that doesn't work, pray a lot. And then if that doesn't work, then this is really a low blow.
Uh-oh.
You just set it up where it's kind of one of those little things where some other man is showing you interest that'll get him going real quick.
Oh, it sure will. You're right about that. If nothing else,
you give him all the chances. That's the last resort now.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
a little bit of attention, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Buy a new lipstick, a new dress, and some new shoes, and a new purse, and get a new hairstyle, and some new perfume, and start coming home an hour or two later than what you normally do. And honey, I'll start talking about Joe at work, Hakeem at work. That Hakeem, he's so funny. You know what he did today? Shit. Yeah, I think he'll straighten up then pretty quickly.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? That's a real good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't even have to go and actually have an affair. If they think, because you know what? I don't think that men could handle it as well as we do when they find out that their woman is possibly sleeping around.
You absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. It's like they just break down.
Can I, y'all know me. I always have a true story. Can I give y'all a true story?
Yes, and they're all
not my brother.
Oh, this is a cougar tail. Wait a minute. Ding, 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 ding. Cougar tail. Okay, cougar, tell us in 4 minutes because we have to take a break. Can you do that or do you want to wait until after break to tell this story?
Well, I can come back if I don't finish up. Now, my brother, he used to run around and cheat all the time on his wife. And he would just cheat on his wife. And then when he, for some reason, his wife went along with it for years and put up with it, and she got tired. Next thing you know, his wife said, I ain't going to take it no more.
Mm-hmm.
And do you not know my sister-in-law turned the table and hunted my sister-in-law? My brother got so possessed with my sister-in-law, he was down there, had him crawled under her car. Man, this is a true story. He crawled under her car and laying under her car. And my sister-in-law, now listen, this is why I tell women, they don't care how big you are. Now, my brother is a little man. And my sister-in-law back then was wearing like a 26, but she had all them big hips and curves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was so afraid that somebody was going to steal his big hip to wife, he went and hid under her car and laid flat on the ground and laid there to see was any man coming out to the car, y'all. That is
a true
statement.
She turned
the tables on him.
Yeah, I think you have to do that sometimes. You have to.
Mm-hmm. And then listen, I hate to say this one. I had a friend, her husband was cheating on her, and she said she told him these words. I said, girl, no, you didn't. She said, yes, I did. She said, when I found out that he was cheating, she said, I told him I can F just as hard as you can.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what she said. She told her husband. I say, girl, don't tell me you told the man that. She said, yes, I did. She said, I told him I can F just as hard as him. And she said, and I went to town at it.
Oh, my God.
They wound up separating, though, but she said she found out that he could. He found out that she can do it better than him. And he wanted to kill her then.
I don't know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
in many cases,
she found out that she can ride twice as more stallions. Now, that's not for everybody now. Because a lot of us, we just want love. We want love. A lot of women and men today want love. But the problem is, we ran up on so many bad relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what to do when we really find the right one.
And do we even know what love is?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of moving around going on. Dale, are you baking a cake? Is it you and Papa
I'm laying in the bed.
Oh, that's Mother Hattie.
That's Mother Hattie running that water.
Mother Hattie.
I am so sorry. I thought it was muted.
I see her sound like she's baking a cake.
All I want to know is, did you hear me yelling at the children?
Oh, thank
no, we didn't hear.
Oh, that's good.
We heard you running water.
Okay, look, let's take a break. And Delta, let me look for your letter, because we will get to Delta's letters. You know, you can always send a letter in to Delta Cougar if you have a question about your relationships, love, money, finances, real estate. Delta is an expert. But tonight we're trying to talk about some love, sex, and relationships. So we will have a relationship question for Delta tonight. But let's take a quick break. And then I want to play this really quick clip on men and women. I love this guy on YouTube. And we'll come right back with Delta's letter.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, we are back, and I want to play this clip by, I think his name is Bernardo Menendez.
Hello, this is Vern, and if you've ever felt unnecessarily anxious because the guy that you're interested in is not doing too much, so you step into his role and start texting him or asking him out or pressuring him to remember you, stick around, because I'm not sure with you why you should never chase a guy and what you can do instead that's 10 times more powerful. Hello, this is Vern. Welcome to your great life2be.com. Today is another edition of Get the Love You Crave, and I am super excited because I'm going to be sharing with you why you should never pursue a guy and what's an alternative that's 10 times more powerful that actually gets you what you want. Here's the situation. Far too many women who are amazing forget how amazing they are when they feel something strong for a guy. And the moment they feel that, instead of relaxing and letting the guy take the case and pursue them, they start doing little things or big things to pursue the guy and to chase him to a point where he starts feeling cornered, he starts feeling this heavy feeling, and he starts running away. So instead of creating that, and the reason why that happens is because of these four things, right? Number one reason why a guy feels cornered is because it lowers your perceived value in him. If you are the kind of girl or woman who has to do little things to get his attention, when he's already connected with you, if he's not stepping up to the plate to do things, then he starts thinking in the back of his head, she's not that awesome, because if she were more awesome, she wouldn't have to do this, right? No woman who has high value has to step up to the plate and pursue a guy ever. And guys know this, and they'll get away with as much as they can. So that's the number one reason, because it lowers your perceived value in the guy. Number two reason why this guy basically is probably going to stop wanting to connect with you is because it dramatically lowers the hunger for him to pursue you. Think about it this way. Most men, the kind of man you want most likely, and I'm going to take a wild guess, is a strong, masculine, open-hearted guy who thrives on breaking free and thrives in conquering and thrives in finding the answer to the challenge, the key to the puzzle, right? And if you hand him the solution to the puzzle, just like that, then his hunger to solve the puzzle drops, metaphorically speaking. So that's the second reason. Third reason is because it forces you into your masculine. And when it forces you into your masculine, you can't be doing both things at the same power at the same time. So if you start stepping up and doing the things he should be doing to get you, then you stop doing the things that you should be doing to attract him, which means opening up, relaxing, shining your light, being expressive, being fun. Why? Because it's hard for you to be fun and friendly when you're also having to do things and feeling anxious about him not stepping up to the plate. Number four, it sets you up for a mindset of scarcity versus abundance. So it sets you up to the point where you're starting to think, well, if he doesn't show up and I don't do this, I'm not going to get what I want. And that is the absolute saddest thing you as an amazing woman can start feeling. Because if anything, if the guy doesn't step up and you relax, you should be able to connect to somebody else. But if you don't feel that way, then you're going to lower your value and connect with him in a way that's not getting you what you want. So what's the alternative to the whole thing, that the whole mess that we're describing right now? The alternative to this whole thing is relaxing and two things. A, stepping back and bringing your energy to the point where a guy feels this butterflies in his stomach too, where he feels excited, he feels your sensuality, he feels your amazingness, but also where you have the inner groundedness to lean back and wait. Lean back and hold off until he starts taking more action. To not give him the time, not give him the energy, not give him all the passion until he actually deserves it. Because the moment you do that, the moment if he's a guy who has any intelligence or wit or hunger, he's going to feel something shift inside. And the moment he feels that shift inside, then the tables have turned and he's doing something to connect with you. Now, if he doesn't, it just means he's not your guy. If the guy, when you relax and you bring your aliveness, you relax, you lean back, the guy is not showing up to do what he needs to do, he is not your guy. Move away, move on. And there'll be plenty of guys who, at that level you're vibrating, will want to connect with you. I hope this is helpful, useful, insightful in some way. If it is, I'm going to ask you to do three things. Number one, click like.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I believe we lost her. She'll probably call back in. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so well, I don't know that he gave us any strategies here.
Oh, no. Yes, she said you don't know if he gave any strategies.
Yeah, I don't know that he really gave any strategy.
Yeah, to
strategy.
Me, he didn't give none either.
It wasn't, I mean, it sounded cute, it sounded good, but I'm saying, well, what do you do with it? And what is it? I mean, how do you make them feel that way? What do you do? I mean, he talked about pulling back, and it's like, it really wasn't specific enough, if you ask me.
But, you know, I do know
this. He has
that
nice little voice, though, you know, that little,
a little paintbrush.
Okay, can I ask a question? What is the age appropriate, do you think, that a girl should be dating? What's an age appropriate? What do you think, Aisha Hyde?
Well, Black I always Rose. Went with 16, you know?
Okay,
when they can drive.
Okay, because I thought, and I see when I was coming up, it had to be 18.
18?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think that's a cultural, geographic, cultural piece there, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because
you Southern Belle are a little slower.
Yeah, we were 16 for us. But I have heard of 18 or
I've heard of 14 and 13.
Oh, yeah. Oh, certainly.
And take a guess what? And it was, and it's common in my family. And I'm really telling the truth. I'm really, really telling the truth. It's real common in our family. Girls cannot date until they turn 18. And that's
well, common
in my
family. Well, how
they
doing all this stuff you telling me they doing if they can't date till they're 18?
Because,
I'm confused.
So take a guess what, Miss Hattie?
I'm confused.
Because we ain't hardly got none of them no more that's 18. We don't. They all up in age now. We really don't. We got one sister, my sister Molly. She got her, she had a girl, two girls kind of late. My sister Molly is, and I'm older than Molly. And the baby girl, her kid's older than Molly. Molly went and got her two more babies afterwards. Then Molly got, she got two girls. And Molly is, you know, in her 50s, but Molly went and got these two girls. And her girl just dated. Now, this is the truth. I'm telling you. Her girl just, she was slipping and dating when she was 17. But now her mother let her bring the boy to the house. He could come to the house and visit now because she turned 18. But most of the girls in our family, Miss Hattie, they're grown. We don't have, we Miss Hattie, we all raising our grandkids. We got grandkids. And a lot of my sisters, they grandparents now. Like great grandparents. Like great grandparents, mm-hmm. Some of them are. And I'm not putting on no show. This is the truth. This, when you hear me talk, I promise you, I'm talking the way mama raised us. I'm not adding nothing, and I'm not taking it away, nothing. This is, I'm only going by the experience, the way my mama raised us and what she did towards us. And that's what I'm going by. And bad as my boy, listen at this, bad as my boys here, my boys will tell you in a minute, they do not believe in they girls dating at no 15 and 16. They not hear that because me and my boy was discussing this today, and he was saying, well, she shouldn't be dating. I said, look, I said, now she can date now. I said, things are a little different now. I said, she's 17. She's finna turn 18. She's finna go off to college. And I said, you can let her date. And he was saying, I don't know about that. I said, yes, you can. I said,
well, you better let them do something before they go off to college, because that way you can coach them on a little thing before they go off so they'll understand some things. But if you just send them off and you're not there to kind of, especially if they go away out of town, out of state to college, then they don't have, you don't have any kind of focus point to help them with relationships and those kinds of things. And that's what I told my brother. He was saying, his daughter, you know, she shouldn't be dating yet, and she has to be 18. And I said, well, I think you want to let her date so you can have a couple of years to work with her on her relationships and friendships that she might have. So he listened to me.
Mm-hmm. I think we do the children more of a hindrance if we just constantly forbid them from something like that, that's natural.
Yeah, but
being attracted
but
to
you know what we be trying to do? We've been down that road. Think about it, Icy Hot. Think about it, Black Rose, and including myself. Think about how the little mischievous and sneaky stuff that we used to do. Think about what we used to do. And what we call ourselves trying to do is when we get grown and we have a family, we trying to head our daughters and our sons all from going down and making the same mistake that we made. And that's what we be trying to do. And the kids don't seem to understand.
Well, I'll say my little cousin in Virginia, she is, 21 or 22. She is still a virgin.
Hi, my name is Tom.
I'm Rath.
That's great.
Well, I had a sister. When my sister got married, take that how old my sister was, and she was a virgin.
30.
My sister was 32. And take
yeah, I've known young ladies like that.
And my sister was 32. And when my sister came to get birth controls, the lady she ran and got all the nurses and brought them and showed them to my sister. And she said that it still happens to this day. And my sister, her husband's the only man she ever known. Now, I can't say that about me. I'm just being honest. my sister was.
It is what it is. And I think that's beautiful.
And then it was raining. And I'm going to show you something. This is the truth. It had started to rain on my sister's reception, and I remember just as good. I stood outside and went outside, and I said, God, these are the words I prayed, and I never forget it. I said, God, now she said, she kept herself. And I said, God, I believe her. And I said, God, if she kept herself, hold back the rain and stop the rain. I promise y'all, within 2 minutes, the rain stopped. The sun came out, and it was so pretty. But the minute the wedding, the reception, and everything was over, the rain come tumbling down.
Wow.
But that
that's
told
something.
Me she kept herself. I said, Lord, she said she kept herself. I said, now stop the rain. I said, do it for her, God. And he did. And I remember that just as plain as day. Now, it's you know what? And it's so, like, I can't condone, well, let me put it in a nice way. If you want to be with a person and you on your way to the altar, that's you. If you're going to get married and you have an understanding. But for somebody to just use you up for years and years and years, I couldn't do that.
I don't think that a person should subject themselves
and then
to
I have
something
another
that they're
situation.
Not comfortable or happy with.
And I got another true story. Let me tell you another true story. My son brought a girl down from Minnesota, my boy Princeton. He brought a girl down from Minnesota, and they was living together.
Mm-hmm.
And my boy, he came to me, and he told me, well, better not say that, because they may be listening. The girl, well, they married now. My boy was trying to get out of marriage. He wanted her, but they had a set up house. So my boy was kind of comfortable with that thing. And I went to that girl, and I told her these words. And she'll tell you I told her this. And you don't find very, very many mamas to do this. But I wanted my son to do the right thing. I said, my son brought you across the country. I said, there's no way that I would let a man bring me all the way across the country and tell me he gonna marry me. And I've been over here a year and a half, and he ain't did it yet. I said, don't let my son use you and make a fool out of you. I said, you give him an ultimatum, and that's it. And I said, if he gonna marry you, he gonna marry you. I said, give him an ultimatum. And do you not know that girl gave my son an ultimatum, and that girl put her foot down? As long as she didn't put her foot down, my boy was happy with just living together with that girl. And now him and her been married 3 years. She put her foot down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that kind of plays into kind of sort of what the brother spoke about in the video. Hey, look, if he wants to be with you, then he's going to step up to the plate, or he's going to move on. Like they used to say, it should get off the pot.
But do you think a woman should quit a man if she don't been with him 10 years? Do you think, like, if everything going along good with them?
Not if I want to get married. Now, some people, they don't want to get married. They're happy just, like, for instance, supposedly, what's her name, Oprah and Stedman. So, I mean, it depends on if that's what you want. If you don't, if you're okay with just not being married, great. But if you want to marry and your partner doesn't, no, I'm not spending 10 years with you. I'm not spending 3 years with you, and we're not married. I'm like, you, Delta, look, you know whether or not you want to be with me or not, all right? So, look, what it's going to be, like Prince said, what it's going to be.
What it's going to be, baby? You want him or you want me? Okay, what you want to do?
Yep, you're right.
I don't have time to sit here and keep playing and messing around and dating this person and that person and on and on. And I mean, especially if we're already exclusive, if we're just seeing each other. So.
And then let me give you another example.
What's the hurt?
And then what if you go and what? Now this a dude to hear. What if me and you been dating? And we finally consummate this thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not satisfied with your performance. Do you think I should go on with you or tell you about it?
Well, I think that if that's important to you, then you may want to say something about it. And maybe he may be open to toys. Or bedroom, what do they call it? Like bedroom enhancement. So maybe he may be open to some bedroom enhancements. And so you still maybe can make it work and have some hot, passionate sex, I would say. But now for some people who that may be important to them, so yeah, they may be like, honey, I can't waste my time. I don't know. I don't know, though, because well, what do you think, Icy Hot?
Well,
in terms of, I'm just thinking.
Delta Kruger's question, if they finally consummate the relationship,
what did you say? Not satisfied with that performance?
Those are legal words. Consummate, far as I'm concerned, even though they don't have a license.
Well, let me say this.
If that is the case, and the performance is poor.
that's why
it's no good to do that before you get it legal. Because then you might be thinking, like, ooh, no, the rest of my life still. But so what you need to be thinking about is go and get you some books. It's just like any other thing you need to do. If you need some practice, go get you some self-help books. And practice. I tell my children this all the time. You can do anything. It takes practice. Just like you could never ride that bike and you kept falling down on that bicycle. And all of a sudden, one day, and now look at you.
Wow.
You zipping all up and down the street on that bicycle with all this confidence. It's the same with anything that you want to do.
I just had
that's
an
what I think.
Moment. I never thought of it like that, but that is so true. Because I've always
well, that means I gotta let these people.
Read
some I
sex
that
mean
you got
books
people
and all
let
of that.
Them do it until you get it right.
Yeah,
like I
keep
I
doing
said.
It.
Get you some videos. Go to some of those little fun parties or the little stores, especially if you live here in Houston. We have those little smoke shop sex stores on every corner, like Walgreens. Go into one of those stores and. Maybe ask
at Walgreens?
No, I said they have the little smoke shop sex stores on every corner here in Houston, like a Walgreens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're at every corner. They're like up.
Not even at that. Not even at that level. I'm talking about even at the level where you get real technical, and you know the parts, and you know the parts, and you read about this part does that, and this is where the sensitivity is.
Yes.
And this might help. I'm talking about that kind of help. I'm not even necessarily talking about that other kind. But that, if that works too. But, I mean, I'm just talking about technical help. Technical.
And then you got another problem.
I found out this
the other day. And I want to know if this is a true question. I was looking at Dr. Drew the other day. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that men can get an erection very, very quick. But women, it takes women twice as long. It takes some women over 20 minutes or 30 minutes to even get an erection. I mean, you know, what do y'all think about that? Do you think that's true? It takes women long?
Orgasm?
For me?
Yeah, to get an orgasm. Do you
well, that's nothing. 20 minutes is just It could be even longer than that. Everybody's a little bit different, I think.
Different. Mm-hmm. Like now, I had a college friend. Her boyfriend that she was dating, the sex was so good, she said, and he said too, because like we were all friends. We all lived in suites next to each other. And she would faint when she had an orgasm, and she would have it like within minutes with him. So I think for some people, it's just your bodies connect or your spirits or something, the energy connects and you feel that passion. And some people, it's just sex, perhaps.
Sounds like a soulmate to me.
Sounds like, well, a soulmate, yes. Like when the sex is just like explosive. Or even not even the sex, it's just being with each other. It's explosive. So those are my thoughts on that. Let me see, Delta, I'm looking for your letter. I think I have it, and we can still continue the conversation. You ready for your letter, Delta?
Yeah, go ahead.
I tell you what. Actually, yeah, I'll read the letter, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and listen to your response with this letter. So this letter is from Nikki in N-O. All right. She says, okay, dear Delta, I always like to hear your advice, and I like the others. Need your help in this situation. So Nikki in N-O says she is 34. She has been with this person for 6 months. And is this 6 months or 6 years? Oh, yes, 6 months. Okay. She really likes him. Things are going well. However, he is interested in having an open relationship. He said that it's fine for them to be together and go out, but she can see other people and he can as well. She appreciates his honesty. But what she wants to know is, should she continue spending time, like what you were saying, Dale, for spending all your good years, spending time with him if she knows that she actually wants more? She wants to share this with him, but since he's already said how he feels, she doesn't want to start an argument with him. So what should she do? He kind of really already told you what he wants, though.
Yeah, he wants some sex.
Oh, he want to be friends with benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well.
So that's okay. Her letter, and so think on something for this young woman, and in the meantime, I think that's Mother Hattie still baking that cake.
Yeah, open relationship. He's not committed. He don't want to be committed. Now, well, we'll finish that up when we get back. You can do our break, because I got something on that.
Okay, and also, Delta, let me see. I tell you what, during our break, let me look for your other letter, because we have another letter as well, so we could just tackle two of your letters. I think we missed one this past week, so yeah, we'll bring in another letter for you. So, people need your advice, Delta.
Okay, I'm ready to give it to them.
We want to help them out, so
I want to help them out.
And also, again, let's not forget our one of our questions, our topic for tonight. Do we as Black people not encourage our younger children as they're progressing through high school and college? Do we not encourage them to start looking for a mate so that you can build your family once you finish school? While you're building your career, you can also build your family. I see a lot of Indian young couples that marry early 20s, a lot of Asians. But I know my parents didn't encourage me to finish high school and college and
find someone to marry, or, oh, you should be married by 25. I used to hear that all the time from some women, Delta. So let's take a quick break, and I want to hear from you. What do you say? Let's see. We'll take a quick break, but let me give the number, 641-715-3660. And the code is 549032, press pound. I can't get our break to play, our break music. And I want to play a clip also. Okay. Not sure what's going on with that, but not a problem. Okay, Icy Hot. I hope you're through baking that cake. Maybe we can hear you a little more clearly now. Delta, you
I'm
with
sorry.
Me?
I am. That was me putting that old cake in the oven, huh?
Putting that cake in the oven.
Well,
the boy.
No, you ain't baking no cake, Icy Hot.
You know I'm not baking no cake.
Speaking of which,
no, you bake.
I was
baking up that other cake.
What kind of cake?
Pie.
Oh,
my boy put in an order tonight. My children ordered their food the day earlier.
How sweet. So, Delta, a review of our letter. So, Nikki and right. So
he wants an open relationship.
An open relationship, right. So
he's not serious with her, and he don't want her.
Mm-hmm.
He want her just for benefits, because a real man is not finna have no open relationship. He's not gonna share his woman with nobody. So
mm-hmm.
this man here is a user. He want her strictly for sex, and he want her to be able to go out and do what he want to do with other partners. No regard to her safety, nobody else's safety, because when you go and do that, you bring in all type of diseases. So that tells me he have no respect for you. He do not care for you, because
right.
if he cared for you, he wouldn't ask you to have no open relationship. A real man and a real woman do not want to share their partner with anybody. So that tells me the lack of respect for you. He have no respect for you. You nothing to him, nothing but a piece of a place to house his semen.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm keeping it real.
Well, I say hi. What say you?
I said a dumping ground of semen is what she is. What he's asking her to be.
So, pretty much sounds like to me as well that he told her already that he didn't want to be with her in terms of a relationship, not exclusive. So, I don't think he has that much attraction to her or respect to be with her. So, anyway, she needs to just move on, too. That's what I would say. Like we said earlier, go ahead on, just go get your life, and if he realizes that you're the one for him, he'll come to you. If not, let him go on. Some people that didn't want to be in a relationship with me, I always say, well, thank you, God. Maybe they saved me from HIV or saved me from an abusive man or saved me from some drama, whatever. So thank you. Bye, Felicia. Felipe.
You absolutely correct, because I just can't see myself a man gonna tell me to have an open relationship. That tell me you don't care anything about me. Because you want another man to be laying up on top of me, eating my private and kissing all over me. And you know, and doing all that, because he gonna have to eat it now. You know what I mean? Lying on that, and I got to.
Can you make that any plainer?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Well, you know so what?
But
let me tell you where that comes from. When I went and had my marriage counseling before I got married, the pastor said, don't hold nothing back, lay it out on the table. He said, because he had married too many people and they didn't lay it out on the table what they expected in the bedroom. He said, and you need to lay it out on the table so to see if they're going to be able to meet your needs. He said, because that's one of the biggest problems of divorce with couples. He said, so lay it out on the line. So if you're an eater, you need to lay it out on the line. If you're a lipper, you need to lay it out on the line. Whatever you want, he said, you know, he didn't just come right out, but he was letting us know, whatever you want, you got to lay it out on the line with your partner. You got to tell your husband to be or your wife to be what you expect. And if they can't meet them requirements, then you're going to have to think about it. Because if you used to getting your cat licked or whatever you've been used to getting doing, that's something you expecting, and it ain't something going to go away. And they got to be able to handle that. And you got to lay it out. Because if you don't, you're going to have some problems.
Uh-huh.
Because your body is looking what you've been accustomed to.
And
so
I think that's across the board. I think that's across the board with all things in a relationship. There may be some sacrifices that I can make, but overall, why would I date someone? Why would I be involved with someone that can't help me achieve happiness or better yet, enhance my life in some kind of way? So there's no need for me to be with you if we're constantly arguing, or if I know I like to go see a movie or two, you never want to go, or you go in with your friends, but you don't ever want to go with me, or whatever it is, whatever the case is, if they're just these incompatibilities that are occurring in a relationship, why would you stay with that person?
I don't know.
I just wouldn't. I mean, if you're not making me happy and I'm not making you happy, if we're not helping each other be happy, rather, because I think you should already have happiness. So if we're not, like I said, enhancing our lives, each other's lives in some form or fashion, and if you can't give me what I want, please. Because if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to give you what you want if I like you. So I think, you know, there should be some reciprocity going on there. I give it to you, you give it to me, we work things out. So anyway, Delta, you ready for your second letter? This is from
my
guy.
I sure am.
All right. I like to try to have a male and female letter. Oh, so Delta, people can write letters to you if they have a question about love, sex, money. What else, Delta? And I'll give them the email address.
They can write whatever they love, heart desire. I'm just like an open book. Whatever I have experienced in my life through the years, you can ask me about anything. Nothing is off limits. Nothing. Hmm. Nothing is off limits. It may even sound crazy, but ask Delta. Delta may give you something to relieve your headache. A Delta may tell you how to get rid of that booger. A Delta may even tell you how to chop his head off.
Chop his head off, Delta.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want them to chop his head off.
And even Delta may even tell you how to kill him and put him in the backyard and dig him up for later.
Delta, you wild tonight. Okay, this is a letter from, oh, well, let me give out the email address. Got me all twisted. write your letters to
thelotusplaceradioshow@gmail.com. They can ask you about problems with their children too, right, Delta?
Anything. A couple wrote
in a letter. It was something going on.
Yeah,
because
you know I can give you some advice on good and bad children. Ooh.
Yes, you sure deal with a whole slew of them. You have a bunch of biddies over there.
Ooh, a bunch of them.
Okay, so this is from Mr. C. Mr. C from Cali. Okay, so Mr. C has been involved with this young lady that he likes. They've been together now for almost a year. He really likes her. The relationship is beautiful. They are happy. He can actually see himself really settling down with this woman and starting a family. However, she has a best friend that she's always going places with. They've been best friends since before they met. Okay, he says, Delta, this is the problem. Her best friend is a man. What I fear is that in the future, if he has not already tried to have a relationship with my lady, I believe that he will. Should I speak to her about this? I've kind of mentioned it before. She brushed it off and said, oh, he's just my friend. We've been friends for years. But I can't help but think when they're always out together, she's very attractive. I'm very attracted to her. So I know that he finds her attractive as well. Let me just get to his main question, Delta. So, Delta, should I mention this to her that I'm uncomfortable with her friendship with this guy, or what?
I most certainly will. I mean, he most certainly should ask her that question, because if they've been in a committed relationship a year,
mm-hmm.
and he's saying that he's falling for her and she's the one, right now you already got a problem already, because you're already uncomfortable with the relationship already, and you haven't even tied the knot. So don't think because you tied a knot that the relationship gonna get better. You got to iron this out before you go down this altar. So if she committed to him,
uh-huh.
she need to put her best friend, which is a man. To me, you ain't got no business going constantly out and hanging with a man. And you already got a man. That's a bad combination right there. That there is headed for failure if you can't straighten this out. Because he already saying that he's jealous of the relationship. And she's always going somewhere with him. And he's thinking already, now when that become my wife, that's sure enough going to have a problem.
But what if her friend is in a relationship, committed relationship as well, with a woman? Would that change your perspective, Delta?
Well, me personally, if they go to that next step and want to tie the knot, my sole priority is to him, not to my friend. Because my friend can't do for me what my lover can do for me. My friend and lover is on two different levels. So if it's making my lover uncomfortable with this relationship, that we constantly going out and being together all the time, something has got to give. And if you're not willing to give this relationship up in order for us to move on to the next step, that means to me you're not committed. Because me personally, If I want that relationship to move to the next level, and I want him, oh, I give it up in a heartbeat. That's me personally.
Well, you know, that just kind of, and I hear what you're saying, because I too had a similar situation growing up, because I had a best friend that was a male, but he was gay. But some
that's
guys,
a totally different thing, honey.
But you know what? Some of my boyfriends or guys that I knew, they would still question, like, I don't know about you being friends with him. So there was still a little conflict or some, they were feeling some kind of way about.
But let me ask you,
now
let me ask you a question, Black Rose and Icy Hot. If you were totally in love with a man and you could see yourself being married to him and going to the next level, and you have a guy friend that you going out and hanging out with, sound like from the letter saying kind of on a regular basis, would you choose that relationship over this marriage that you've been wanting? Would you choose the marriage? Because the friend is not going to be committed to you.
What is
friendship is only committed to a certain degree.
It's committed, but it's a different kind of commitment. It's not a romantic. It's a platonic commitment.
But if it's making my lover uncomfortable, something got to be doing about it.
I would say yes, something has to be done about it. But then at the same time, I think that men and women can have platonic relationships, and I think it's healthy, because I really enjoy my male friends that I have, because I can talk to them about so many different things, including asking them about another male. To me, they're just like a female friend. I don't see them in a romantic way, and they don't see me like that. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just saying, I think that men and women can have platonic relationships, and like if I met somebody and they had a problem with, say for instance, like King B and Brother Brown and some of my other male friends, I wouldn't just disown my friends because he has a problem, he has an issue with me having male friends. I would make sure that he's introduced to them, and then he would, you know, maybe feel a little more comfortable. Let's ask Feather Light. What do you think? What do you think, Feather Light? You said you have a comment.
Oh, yes. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hey. I'm leaning more toward Delta Cougar's response, because I'm looking at it in the fact that it's not just like having a male friend with a platonic relationship. That's cool. And if you meet somebody and you let them know from get go, this is my male friend, we're cool, blah blah blah. Okay. And they should be cool with that. But from the letter, like Delta Cougar says, they are going out a lot. Okay? It's not just this is my friend and we're doing things together. They're hanging out a lot. Your husband to be, or the person that you're planning on spending your life with, that should be your friend. That should be your confidant. That should be the person that you feel really, really comfortable with. Now, if
that
she wants to hang out, yes, if she wants to hang out with dude as a companion, that's cool. But if you're spending more time with your companion than you are with your man to be that you're thinking about marriage, yes, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's more than King B or Brother Brown occasional conversations. Y'all hooking up. I don't mean sexually, but a little bit too much when you got this man that you're thinking about marrying on the side. You, well, all that free time that she has, why isn't she spending it with this man that she's thinking about marriage? She seems to have a lot of free time. So that free time, it shouldn't be totally to the man she's going to marry, because both of them should have their own separate interests. But to me, it seems like she is so used to being with this guy that she hasn't incorporated her new relationship into the way things are going to be in the future. She still wants to hang on to this new guy. And I don't think he's gay either.
And then not only on top of that, think about this. She putting a lot of emotional bonds with him. And now, ladies, think about this. Now, ladies, come on, let's be for real. Once you be with a person so long, now, come on now. I've been young myself, and you ain't even got to be young. Think about what I'm finna tell you. You get to put in so much emotional time with that person. You begin to get a rapport with that person, and you also begin to get a bond with that person. And one thing will lead to another. You may not want it to happen, but one thing will lead to something else. Now, come on, plus, let's be for real.
Yes, and then, okay, right with that, going along with that, Delta Cooper, what if something happens with her male friend? They get into a heated argument. Who she's going to run to? She's going to run to dude. He hurt my feet. Then he pets her, and then they get close. Thank you for being here. You know, the next thing, kissy, kissy, catch, touch. And the next thing, bam, they've done it.
I don't know that it has to go that way. There are people.
Of course it doesn't have to go that way. I'm just saying it does happen. It does happen.
It might happen, but the letter, I don't even know that she's interested in marrying him. He says he thinks that. He didn't say she thought that they were going to move it to another level. She's just with her.
Yeah, but if they're talking about marriage, though, if they are talking about marriage.
But the letter didn't say.
But then something is going on.
I think we're jumping the gun from the standpoint that even if he is saying I've been with her a year, I think she's the one, but it doesn't say that she's going to even accept that as a option. Maybe she doesn't want to be married. This is him talking only.
In that case, the answer to his question is yes, you should bring it up.
Well, I think he should bring it up irregardless. I think so, because he definitely should bring it up. And I think there definitely should be an adjustment. So I think that people that are in our lives sometimes are okay if it's a healthy relationship. I just don't see, because people are just people. Friends are just friends, even if they have a different gender. And I know that if it's a man-woman platonic relationship, most people think of it exactly the way you all are thinking of it. But those relationships can be healthy, but maybe the adjustment could be that, well, you know, if she's saying, I want to, yes, shall we will get together, you know, just maybe not just diss her friend totally that she's had as a friend, just to maybe make an adjustment on the time spent with that friend would help. So reduce some of the time if they're, you know.
That was my point.
Yeah, make an adjustment. But I don't think you should totally diss your friends because you're getting married. I mean, because
Of course not. Even women
will do that. Some women, when they get married, bam, they totally diss all their girlfriends. And I do know that you really shouldn't hang out with single women and that kind of thing. I don't believe you hang out with them a lot, but you could be friends and maintain a friendship with them on some level. Uh-huh. And then maybe you grow apart because you're talking about a married person and a single person. Now, take for instance her guy friend, her platonic friend. He may have a relationship going on too with somebody who is a romantic relationship.
I bet she has a problem too. I bet she has a problem. Because if he's spending that much time with her and it's supposed to be platonic, then I'm sure she's having the same issues that this man is having.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure if I'm
I would guess so. I would think so.
So say that again, Feather.
I would say, okay, I see Hot said that this man, he may be in a relationship himself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that case, he's straight, I guess.
Okay, you're speaking about the friend. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I was just saying, if I were that friend, that lady on the other side, then I would probably be having just as much of an issue as this man who's writing the letter. I know that's your friend, but, you know, you were with her yesterday and the day before and the day before that.
Let me say this. Now, in the letter, I think we're reading a little bit too much into the time because he didn't say it's like they're spending time like she's constantly with this guy. It's just the fact that it's just like you would spend time with any other friend. So he's more upset about the fact that it's a male friend that she has.
I got that she was spending some time with him. Didn't you, Delta Cooper?
I got she was spending a lot of time with him.
That's what I got.
A lot of time for him, though. It's not once a month. But we don't know that.
Can I just make a quick point, though?
Yeah.
No, because we're about to close out, though. But let me just make a quick point. We still have a few minutes. We don't know what frequent is to him. His frequent could be she's going out to lunch with him once a week or once every 2 weeks, like a lot of us do with our girlfriends, or once a month. So in the letter, he didn't say, like, they're going out every day, all day. So we need people to like give us more, be more, a little more specific with the letters, because we can't make the assumption that yes, they're together every day like that. Okay, now somebody else wants to say something.
Let me say something real quick, because I have a different view of looking at things. I look at things from a different side. This person says in his letter, and reading between the lines, a lot. Okay, he didn't say once a week, he didn't say once a month, that's true. But perception is 100% reality. If in his mind it's a lot, mm-hmm. then it's a lot. Whether we think it's a lot or not, but in his mind, it's a lot, and it's affecting him to the point that he wrote this letter. So we
that's
have to
exactly
look at it.
What I was
we have to
say.
Look at it
okay,
in that way.
Exactly
okay, I can
that's
see
exactly
that.
That's exactly what I said.
Can see that
he
blue,
wrote the letter, so evidently it's troubling
it's,
him.
Yes, clearly it's troubling him. So whatever the case is, however many times she's going out with her friend, which I think people should be able to go out with their friend. But now, if there is, if he has a problem like that with it, I would say yes, he should ask her about it and maybe start trying to see if maybe all three of them can go out or something like that. But I just don't know if I would be willing to give up my male friend because you have an issue with me having a male friend. And this is truly a platonic relationship. This is my confidant. So I don't know.
No, my husband's supposed to be my confidant.
Mine too, Deb Cooper.
And there lies
the thing is that you know, can your spouse be your everything? Should your spouse be your everything?
I think you should because the Bible said, and you know this, Isaiah, the Bible said when we married, the Bible said we come as one.
But can you have more than one confidant, like the president has more than one advisor?
That's two different. That's two different views.
Yeah, I mean, so my only friend. No, then you make your husband every damn thing, just like what I just said. So you just, I mean, he's like every. I mean, he should be everything, but I think.
Okay,
so
can I give y'all a perfect example before we run out of time?
Now you have taken it to the nth degree. You don't exclude everybody else, and you don't put everything into one person.
Right.
You don't do that.
Let me give you.
You don't. That's not healthy.
I agree.
That's not healthy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, so I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. I don't believe in doing that.
Okay, now this is what I did when I was.
I just said
confidant.
Okay, and wrap it up, Delta, because we're at the top.
Okay,
of
now
the
this
hour.
What I did when I was married the first time. This is what I. I was, my husband and me was always each other's best friend, and I didn't have no problem with that. I never had a problem with that.
I would love for my husband to be my best friend.
I would too.
I want to marry my best friend.
Me too.
So I love that. I think that's beautiful because I think that you do have to have some type of foundation there. And I think it really helps when you are friends first because, and even friends long enough to watch them in other relationships. Now, I really like that because you get a bird's eye view. So that's why I say I would be a little skeptical about giving up my friend because just because he's feeling like she this and she that, that does not mean that she may feel that way about him. She may be feeling some other kind of way. So he does need to ask her. Maybe she'll tell him, look, you're not all that I'm going to give up my friend for you, because I don't even see you as a potential. You may see me as a potential mate, marriage partner, but I don't see you like that. So I'm not. You're not worth me giving up my friend. So,
I can't see a woman being with him over a year and she not having some type of feelings for him.
All right. But we will end the show tonight. Delta, you always have some good hot letters for us. So thank you. Delta, thank you. Mother Hattie, thank you. Feather, thank you. Scotty, thank you. Listen.
Feather Light.
Good night. Feather Light. And good night.
Good night.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.